Thank you.
Amen. Samson told me to give you a really good introduction, and I've completely forgotten to introduce you.
So that's okay.
I'm going to give you the time.
Perfect. Okay, good enough. Okay, for those of you who don't know, my name is Scott Dalton. I'm from Brampton in near Toronto, Canada. My wife and I have a ministry called Completing Christ Ministries. We have the privilege of traveling around to different nations and bringing the truth of God, the love of the Father, teaching people how to enter in and live a transformed life. And it's good to be here. We've been here before, we have some friends here, and we're really looking forward to seeing what the Lord does this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for that grace that we heard about today through the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, Lord, that you bestowed upon us that which we don't deserve. And it is our only hope, your grace. And so we choose to freely enter in to all that Christ has done for us. I pray, Lord, that you would bring a revelation of it tonight. Sorry, this morning. A revelation of it. We give you thanks, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to strive. Thank you that we can learn to receive as children. And I pray that you would teach us this very thing. We give you praise, Lord. Anoint our time together, we ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I have to leave at 12 o'clock today because I have another church I'm speaking at this afternoon, but there's enough time to do what God wants. So I want to talk about abiding. I want to talk about abiding in Christ, really what I think is the most important message that we have as Christians. Because without abiding, the work of Christ cannot go deep into your life. And the work of Christ that's already been done in your life cannot deepen, cannot remain. You know, so often we go to a meeting, we go to a conference, we go to a healing week, and God does extraordinary things, but that doesn't seem to convert into long-term freedom. And the main reason for that is that we haven't learned to abide in the vine of Jesus. We haven't learned to daily receive what Jesus Christ has secured for us. I love what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He says this, that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours in Christ Jesus. So that's a very powerful thing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is ours in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you've gone to your friend's house for dinner. And there's other people there, and your friend is making all of your favorite dishes. And you see the dishes coming out of the kitchen, and they're setting them on the table, and there you are sitting in the living room with the other people. You smell the food, you're looking at the food. And so you start talking about the food to your neighbor, and you say, "That's my favorite dish." Or maybe you sing about the food. Or someone gets up and preaches a message about the food. But you never actually come and eat. And that's a lot of Christian experience. Is that we don't enter in. We haven't learned to come and feast at the table of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about it, we sing about it, we preach about it. We have moments that we believe for it, but we haven't learned to enter in. We haven't learned to feast. And I want to call you today to feast upon the grace of God. To feast upon, please hear, what has already been accomplished for you. So not just your salvation was accomplished, but your sanctification has been accomplished. It has already been enabled by what Christ has laid up for you in heaven, your great high priest, your great intercessor, raining down his finished work into our lives every day. And so what do we need to learn to do? We need to learn to position ourselves to receive the grace of God. That's what we need to learn to do. And then once we've done that, we also need to learn to do to secure the ground. Because we don't just want to possess something and then let it go. We want it to remain and deepen and become the fruit of God. And then we can do what Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. Because we know we can only give away to others what we've received and what we possess. And so I want to talk about abiding in the presence of Jesus as the most important thing in your life. And so I'm going to read three passages. They all are basically talking about the same thing. And the first one is Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Mark 3, 13 to 15, it says this. Jesus went up on the mountainside, and he called to them those he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Interesting. Just a few short verses, but I believe in these verses we have the divine order. So Jesus goes up onto a mountain, he calls his disciples. Why? What's the first thing? It says that they might be with him, and then he will send them out. You see, being with Jesus was the most important thing to him. That the disciples would remain with him, know his heart, hear his words, see his life, become friends with him. That was the priority of Jesus for his disciples, and that is the priority of Jesus for all of us. He did not call you to himself to work for him. He called you to himself to be with him and to know him intimately. And I want to pray for all of us today that we will catch the vision. That Christianity primarily is about relationship. Relationship with God, which then turns into relationship with one another in the community of Christ. And out of those two relationships, then comes mission. And so we have to learn to abide with God, which turns into abiding in the body of Christ, which turns into going out. But abiding with Jesus, I pray today you'll catch the vision that that is the goal of your life. So let's read another passage, Luke chapter 10. Very familiar passage, the story of Mary and Martha. Right here, Luke 10, starting at verse 38, it says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It's a powerful passage. So here's Mary and Martha. They invite Jesus into their house. And when you come to someone's house for a meal, You would think they're going to be spending their time cleaning up, preparing the meal, doing all the work that is required to have a wonderful time together. And so I want to say up front, Jesus is not saying that work is bad. Jesus is not saying that hard work is bad. Jesus is not saying that you shouldn't prepare a nice meal for people when they come over to your house. What Jesus is doing is he's showing a priority. Even more than a priority, he's showing a necessity. And so Mary comes in, Martha comes in, sees Mary just sitting there at the feet of Jesus while she's doing all the work. And she says to Jesus, "Don't you care? Tell her to help me." What does Jesus say? He says this, "Martha, you're worried and distressed about many things." So I want to ask you today, what drives you? Is it worry and fear and distress? Is that what drives you to work, to try and get things done out of the fear that is going on in your heart? I can say that's what drives me many times. Even on this trip, it's been a very busy trip. I felt at times I've been driven by distress. I've been driven by worry. I'm not going to be able to get done what I need to get done for the next part of my mission. And in that time, what does the Lord want to say to me? He doesn't want to say to me, "Work harder, Scott, and get it done." He first wants to say to me, "Come to me. Leave the worry and the fear and the distress. Come to me, Scott. Sit at my feet, because I want to hear the words of Jesus that he spoke to Martha about Mary." He says this, "Few things are important. Indeed, only one." Isn't that interesting? Jesus is saying to Martha, "Martha, only one thing is truly important in life. And every other part of your life comes out of, is an extension of, the one thing that is truly important. And that is sitting at the feet of Jesus." Why? Because Martha is preparing a meal that will only last for a moment. But the meal that Mary is getting, what does Jesus say? It will not be taken from her. What I give Mary now, the words, my presence, my love, that is going deep into Mary's heart, will last forever. That fruit. What about you? What's your day like? What's the priorities of your day? Well, like many people, as soon as your feet hit the floor, you're off and running, right? There's many things that need to be done throughout a day. And again, those are important things, but they are not as important as the one thing that Jesus wants to tell us to focus on in our lives. How's your time with Jesus? If you're like me, it's not always consistent. I have good days, I have bad days spending time with the Lord, but thankfully, I'm getting better, more consistent at putting Jesus first. And so what I want to say first is, don't condemn yourself. See it as a process of learning to abide in the presence of Jesus. If you have found it a struggle to be with the Lord or to be consistent with the Lord, then start small and build up. My life for many, many years was all about hardly spending any time with Jesus, feeling deeply convicted, and then thinking, I'm going to spend like 2 hours with Jesus. Sort of to make up for it. And that's not the extremes that we want to live in as disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we want to build a life with Jesus. It's not about being a rabbit. It's about being the turtle. One step at a time with the Lord every day, building and building and building your inner person so that you then can commune more deeply with him than ever before. And out of that will come a life lived for God. So what Jesus is saying is this. It is about priorities. So the most important thing you can do in your life is not go out there and serve Jesus. The most important thing you can do with your life is not work hard. The most important thing that you can do with your life is to sit and rest and be in the presence of Jesus. Maybe be in his word, be in worship, be in meditation, whatever it is. But to be with him. Why? Because as we're going to see in the next passage, every part of your life is an extension of being with Jesus. So let's go to that passage now. And this is the heart of really what I want to speak on today. John chapter 15. John 15. And here Jesus says, I am the vine, and we are the branches. So starting at verse 1 of John chapter 15, it says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, he's giving us an analogy, that he is a vine, or he is like the trunk of a tree, and we are a branch. So this is Jesus, the vine, and this is us, the branch. Now, what happens in the natural? Well, in the natural, the sap flows through the vine and into the branch. And when that sap flows from the vine into the branch, what happens? Fruit grows. Let me ask you this question. Does the branch have a choice? Can the branch say, I'm not going to grow fruit? No, because fruitfulness is a byproduct of abiding. I'm going to say it again. Fruitfulness is a byproduct of abiding, period. And just like in the natural, that's how it works in the spiritual. So Jesus is the vine, we are the branch. And what happens? Well, the sap of the Holy Spirit flows from Jesus the vine into your life as you remain in him. And what happens? Fruit. Fruit grows in your life as you abide in Jesus. So here's another question. How hard does this branch work to produce fruit? Nothing. The branch has one decision, if I can say that about a branch, because we are the branches. The one decision is this: will you remain or not? That's the decision that we have. Will we abide in Jesus or not? If we choose to abide in Jesus as the goal of our life, sit at his feet, remain in the vine, allow his word and his spirit to flow into us daily, what will happen? We will bear fruit, because fruitfulness in the Christian life is a byproduct of abiding in Jesus. Now, what happens if this branch decides to break off and starts living the Christian life on his own, running around, trying to do good works, trying to be a better person, trying to repent of sin, trying to be healed, trying to repair things in their family, trying to minister for Jesus without abiding? What happens? What does it say? This branch will wither and become depressed and become dry and become ineffective. That was me for many years. Maybe that was you at some time in your life. The first church I ever pastored was a Baptist church. And basically, I tried to pastor that church in my own effort. And I wondered why I was not seeing a lot of fruit inwardly and outwardly. And it's because I was choosing to live the Christian life in my own strength, through my own gifts, through my own wisdom, through my own knowledge, through my training that I was trained at school. I was relying upon all of these earthly things to produce the fruit of God. Here's the truth. Are you ready? You can't be good in yourself. You cannot repent of your sin. You cannot live the life that Jesus Christ has called you to live on your own. And maybe some of you here have been really struggling. Maybe you've been trying really, really hard to get better, really, really hard to be a good person, really hard not to sin. Where Jesus says this: I just want you to make one decision. Just one, every day. Come to me. Abide in me. Give up striving. Give up perfectionism. Give up trying to be good. Give up serving me in your own strength. Give up trying to change your family. Give up trying to change another person. Give up trying to change yourself as the goal of your life. The goal of Christianity is not human betterment. That's not the goal of Christianity. The goal of Christianity is not just to become a moral person. The goal of Christianity is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so if that's you today, if you feel tired of trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to repent, trying to serve the Lord, trying to live the Christian life on your own strength, then I want to say this: stop and choose to make one decision in your Christian life every day. And let that decision be: I'm going to spend time abiding in the vine. Because here's the key: purposeful abiding. In other words, I choose in the morning to come and be with Jesus. Purposeful abiding turns into continual abiding throughout the day. And then throughout the day, when things are going difficult at work or with my family, with my children, or something's going on, what can I do? I can pause. And I can say, the sap of the Holy Spirit is flowing into me. Lord, I need your wisdom and your strength. because I can't do it. So it's the switch from self-effort to God-effort, abiding in the vine of Jesus. And I want to say, this is good news. Because God's not asking you to make yourself a better person. God's not asking you to work hard for Him as the goal of your life. God is asking you to desire Him, to desire to be with Him, desire to know Him, desire to abide with Him, and then, please hear me, and then He will transform you. He will enable you to allow that sin in your life to be removed. He will fill your heart with love. He will give you a desire for prayer. He will enable you to live the life that He's called you to live. And that we will do what Jesus said to Martha. Indeed, only one thing is important. And what Jesus gives you every day will not be taken from you. I pray this message will set you free. Will set you free from works righteousness, will set you free from perfectionism, will set you free from focusing on your sin. Don't focus on your sin. Focus on your Savior. Because you can't stop sinning. But the sap of the Spirit of life flowing into you from Jesus can make you righteous. Can you see it? So what about good works then? What about working hard? Where does that come from? Are we just supposed to sit in the presence of Jesus and float around and have a happy club here? No, there is a mission. There is work to be done every day in our families, in our jobs, and in the kingdom of God. And God does want us to work hard, and He does want us to be holy and righteous. He actually wants us to have good works. Where does it all come from if we can't produce it? Here it is. The world's equation is this. If you are good and you work hard and you do everything we want you to do, we will love and accept you. That's the world equation, isn't it? What did Jesus do to that equation? He reversed it, didn't he? So Jesus says, through me, the Father loves you and accepts you 100% before you do anything, even before you're good. Through Christ, the Father has adopted you, and He loves you and accepts you 100%. So there's nothing you can do after that that will bring the acceptance of love of God into your life more. You can experience it more, but it's always 100%. So where do good works come from? Where does the desire to be righteous come from then? Comes from this. In 1 John it says this, that His love for us produces love in our heart for Him. So love, as we abide, creates love within us. So in other words, it's not something we can work up. It's a fruit of abiding, of being in Jesus. That my heart is fired by a passionate love for my Father in heaven, who loves me with an everlasting love, who desires me with a desire that is incomprehensible. And it flows into me as I abide in the vine, and my heart comes alive with a fire of love. And this love then flows up to the Father. Now, why do I work hard? Why do I want to be good? In order for the Father to love and accept me more? Is that why? For many Christians, it is. But I work hard for God, and I want to do the things He wants me to do every day, and I want to hate sin and love righteousness. Why? Not so God will love me more, but because I love Him. That's why. And I want to serve the one I love. I want to please the one I love. I want to desire His way and His glory and His kingdom because I love Him, because He loves me. And so why do I get on a plane and come here? So that God will love me more and accept me? No, because I love God and I want to make Him known. Why do I want to get rid of sin? Because I found a greater love. I found a greater satisfaction. I found a greater vision than what this world can give me. I have found a love that will set me free and consume me and satisfy me forever and ever and ever. And so when you look at the world after you've abided in Jesus and the love of the Father has filled your heart and the enemy comes and offers you something in the world to satisfy you, you just see how puny that is, how ineffective it is to bring any satisfaction, to fill any need. Why? Because I've tasted the love of my Father in heaven as I've abided in the vine. And so His fruit comes into my life, His glory, His love, His satisfaction, filling all my needs. And so now I want to work hard. I want to serve Him. I want to bring Him glory. I want to live a righteous life. Not perfect in any of this, of course. But it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing. The more I abide, the more I soak in His presence, the more His love comes and sets me free. I want to live a life for Him. And that sets you free from the tyranny of works righteousness, from the tyranny of striving every day, exhausted, to be good enough to be accepted and loved. That's what burns you out. What about you? Do you know this love? Probably to a degree, but the Lord wants you to receive it even more, so that you can be free of the world's equation and enter into God's equation, that you're already loved and accepted 100%. It's not about your righteousness. It's not about being good. It's not about whether you're a missionary or serving God full time or that you're perfect in it. That has nothing to do with the love of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always the same. Can't be added to, can't be diminished. That sets me free. Because now the goal of my life becomes what? That I would become a lover of God. That becomes the goal of my life. And that I live in a love relationship with my Father in heaven every day. And out of this love comes the love for others. Comes the love to serve. Comes the love to do mission in whatever way Jesus has called you to do it. I'm going to end with this. I want to have some communion before I go. First time I ever met my wife. We were at university. I guess it was about 38 years ago now, something like that. I was talking on the phone. At that time, phone had cords that went into the wall. Talking on the phone, and she walked by. I'd never seen her before. I thought, whoa, look at that woman. And I literally hung up on the person that I was talking to. And I followed my wife. And I thought, I want to get to know this woman. And thankfully, she was in a class that I had. So I got to sit beside her. I got to talk to her. And as I got to know her, I just thought, she's amazing. But she wasn't a Christian, so I thought, I got to get this woman saved. But the more I got to know her, the more I spent time with her, the more I began to fall in love with her. The more I wanted to spend time with her, the more I wanted to abide with her and be with her and know her love. And as I saw her love filling me, my love for her grew, and we had this love relationship. You know what began to happen? I began to tell others about Hillary. You've got to meet this woman. She's amazing. You'll love her. And tell all her good qualities and what she's like and what our relationship is like. And you would love to meet her. So I became an evangelist for Hillary. Not because I had to, but because I fell in love. And you can't stop talking about the one you love. I tell churches all the time, it's not programs that will breed evangelism, it's love. If you pastor your church in the three loves, everything will change. So God's love for us, our love for God, and then our love for others. That's the whole Bible. That's every theology will fit under one of those categories. And you don't have to tell people to go and share their faith when they've fallen in love. They'll just do it. And that's the Christian life. And it all begins with Jesus saying, come to me. Remain with me. Abide with me as the first priority of your life, and then everything else flows out of it. And what did Jesus say? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let it set you free today to become a lover of God. Father, we thank you so much that you call us to yourself. And we can be complete in Christ. I thank you that it's not about human effort. It's not about how good we are. It's about your goodness and your effort in us and through us for the glory of your name. And so I pray that you would teach us all to plug into you every day as the goal of our lives. That's my prayer, Lord, for us today. I pray that this message would cause the blinders to be lifted and our heart to come alive and say, yes, this is what I want. So, Lord, empower this within us, I pray. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just do communion now for a second? Yeah, just make it part of the abiding ministry.